Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show.
All right, I'm here. My name's Gary Parish, speaking to you from Memphis, Tennessee. Ben Adol is producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day best you can.
Her daddy lost most everything. On horse, whiskey, and wedding rings.
And I hope you weren't expecting any of the professional golfers who have joined the Saudi-backed league Live Golf to say anything interesting this morning when they spoke for the first time. Dustin Johnson among them. Press conference just outside of London. Again, the golfers didn't really say much, but it was still an interesting scene, and it remains a fascinating story. In my opinion, the most interesting thing happening in sports right now. We'll talk about it momentarily. I'll answer some questions that it appears people continue to ask. We'll get into it real quickly. First, though, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. 4:20, Rick Gaiman's going to join me. He, of course, is a golf writer. Host of the First Cup Pod, which is part of CBS Sports. He had a really interesting podcast yesterday after Phil Mickelson announced he's joining Live Golf. Another one earlier today after Tiger Woods announced he is not going to play in the U.S. Open. Rick Gaiman's going to join me in the next segment. He'll help us understand what's happening in golf right around 4:20. When I finish that, I'll take a break, come back, do four notable stories at 4:44, at which point we'll discuss four previously undiscussed stories. Among them, the New York Times had an explosive story about Deshaun Watson that published this afternoon. Looks like the New York Times can investigate the Browns quarterback better than the Browns, which guaranteed him $230 million. That's not looking so smart right now. I'll give you the highlights or the lowlights around 4:44. College baseball super regionals are now set. 16 schools are still competing for the national championship. Seven of them are either SEC schools or future SEC schools. Tennessee is one of them. Playing Notre Dame in a best-of-three series starts Friday in Knoxville. Ole Miss is one of them. Playing Southern Miss in a best-of-three series starting Saturday in Hattiesburg. Arkansas is one of them. Playing North Carolina in a best-of-three series starting Saturday in Chapel Hill. Fun baseball stuff. We'll get into it a little later on this hour. David Fizdale, former Grizzlies coach, was among the Lakers' assistants let go today by new Los Angeles coach Darvin Ham. Spent a few minutes on that just before 5 o'clock, and Matthew McConaughey, a native of Uvalde, Texas, spoke at the White House this afternoon. He was passionate. He was powerful. He told some incredibly sad stories about the victims while asking our political leaders to create new gun laws. Spent a few minutes on that during four notable stories at 4:44. 5 o'clock, Jeff Cock is just like always that I will eventually do dinner to go and get on out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to, but I did want to start with the world of golf, because the most fascinating thing in sports right now is Live Golf and the impact it's having on the PGA Tour and the controversy that is engulfing the sport. As you know, yesterday, Phil Mickelson announced he's joining LIV Golf, which is, of course, the Saudi-backed upstart. It's reportedly a three-year commitment from Phil. So he had to commit 3 years for $200 million. This, of course, comes after Dustin Johnson had previously announced he's joining LIV Golf. And the report there is that it's also a three-year agreement for $125 million. And Dustin Johnson, among the notable headlines this morning, just on the outskirts of London, said that he has resigned from the PGA Tour. So some of the players this morning have said they're not resigning from the PGA Tour, and they recognize they've opened themselves up to discipline, but they hope to play on the PGA Tour at some point again. Dustin Johnson resigned completely from the PGA Tour, which is not something that I think everybody expected. Rather than wait for the PGA Tour to discipline him, he just said, hey, guys, don't even bother. Nothing to discipline here. I have resigned. Now, I guess they could still step in and ban him for life if they wanted to, meaning if this thing doesn't go well, you don't have a home to come back to. But either way, probably the biggest headline this morning is that Dustin Johnson has resigned from the PGA Tour. And so for the past, 22 hours since I got out of here yesterday, I've been reading a lot about this and even listening to various podcasts. I listened to the First Cut podcast last night on my drive home. I listened to the new episode earlier today. And then I was really at the point where I was just in my Apple podcast, searching golf podcast, because I don't listen to a lot of them other than the First Cut, and just seeing what would pop up and anything that said LIV Golf, Phil Mickelson, Dustin Johnson, I was like, I'll give this a shot. And I stumbled on one from Hank Haney, who, of course, is a longtime relevant figure in the world of golf. He's a well-known instructor. And turns out he has a podcast. Who knew? Did you know?
No.
Okay. Well, everybody has a podcast these days.
It's true.
Including Hank Haney. And it was like 23-minute episode after Dustin Johnson had announced, but before Phil Mickelson had announced. That's when it was clearly recorded. And I said, okay, I can get through 23 minutes. And I thought he made some interesting points. Dan Walken, by the way, had a column on this earlier today that also made interesting points. Like, why are we so outraged by Phil Mickelson and Dustin Johnson getting into bed with the Saudis when literally the American government is in bed with the Saudis? Like, why are we holding golfers to a higher standard than we hold our current president or our previous president, both of whom have relationships with the Saudis? I think that's a fair point. But one of the points Hank Haney made is that people were surprised last week when Dustin Johnson announced he's joining LIV Golf. And Hank Haney said it really should have been the least surprising thing for everybody. And I'm paraphrasing here, but A, I think it's well documented. Dustin Johnson is a President Trump supporter. He and his wife were at Mar-a-Lago, photographed with the president not too long ago. So what that suggests, at least, not proves, but suggests is he's not going to have any big hangups with the Saudis. The president he supported didn't have any real hangups with the Saudis. And beyond that, Dustin Johnson doesn't seem to have any hangups about anything. Like, he doesn't seem to be a particularly thoughtful guy the way some professional athletes are. I hesitate to call him dumb because I never met the guy, but he certainly comes across that way sometimes. Like, he's just a golfer. A very good one. Tall, thin, good-looking, great professional golfer. There doesn't seem to be much more to him than that. Which is fine. Seems like a fun life to live. So the point Hank Haney made is, like, there are some players who might really have moral hangups with this. Roy McIlroy seems to be one of them. But Dustin Johnson was never going to be one of them. And then this next point was the one that was eye-opening for me. Not because I didn't know the numbers, but I'd never heard him placed in this context. Now, if you don't follow golf, you might not be familiar with Dustin Johnson. But he has been one of the best professional golfers and most successful professional golfers of all time. He's 38 years old now. He has been on the PGA Tour for 15 years. So he's been a professional golfer for 15 years. He has won 28 times on the PGA Tour. He's won majors. He's been ranked number one in the world. This is the best of the best. His career earnings are $74 million playing golf. That's what he's won. That's what he's earned playing golf. $74 million over 15 years. You know what that comes to a year? $4.9 million. Jarrett Culver just made $6.3 million this past season from the Grizzlies.
Yeah, that's some perspective.
And one of the greatest golfers of all time has averaged over 15 years $4.9 million in earnings. Now, obviously, some years much more than that. Other years not so much. But the average over 15 years, and his 15 years are about the average amount of time that a great baseball player might be employed, or a great basketball player might be employed, or a great football player might be employed. 15 years, say from 23 to 38. Now think about what great basketball players make over that span of time. Aaron Donald just yesterday signed a brand new, fresh 3-year contract worth $95 million, worth more than Dustin Johnson has earned playing golf in his entire career. Aaron Donald just signed a brand new contract yesterday. He's just got to play the next 3 years, $95 million guaranteed. Dustin Johnson has played 15 years on the PGA Tour, won majors, won 28 times, been ranked number one, only $74 million. And so the whole point Hank Haney made is that, in his opinion, for a long time now, the best golfers in the world have been wildly underpaid relative to the best athletes in other mainstream sports in this country. And the fact that Jarrett Culver just made in a year about $2 million more than Dustin Johnson has averaged per year in his professional career, I think highlights that. The other thing about the PGA Tour, and I think most people understand this, but again, just to highlight, explain exactly what the tour is up against right now. You're guaranteed nothing as a PGA Tour player. Absolutely nothing. You go play in a tournament, and you might make zero. In every other professional sport in this country, that's just not the way it works. NBA players get paid what they get paid, whether they score 30 points or zero, whether they grab 10 rebounds or none, whether they're healthy or not, whether they win or lose. Whatever it is Steven Adams is making, Steven Adams is making. Whether he's starting at center, whether he's not playing at all, whether he's got COVID or not, you get paid. PGA Tour, you don't. Also, when Steven Adams has got to go do his job in Salt Lake City or Los Angeles or New Orleans or Detroit, there is a franchise, his employer, that pays for that travel. They put him on a private plane. They put him in a 5-star hotel. They get him back and forth. PGA Tour, you pay for your own travel. When you see these golfers renting houses out at Southwind, the week the tour comes to Memphis, they're paying for that. When you see Bryson DeChambeau post on Instagram from a private plane, that's coming out of his pocket. And so now think about LIV Golf. These are what these players are now contemplating joining. They pay for travel. They handle your expenses. You are guaranteed to make something just for showing up. You're playing three rounds instead of four. And you're playing for roughly a little more than three times as much money against a much smaller field and weaker competition, shotgun starts. Again, for people who don't follow golf, that's instead of, and on the first tee, here's Tiger Woods. And then however many minutes later, and here's Jordan Spieth. And golf goes from early in the morning till late in the afternoon. Everybody's teeing off. You got four guys on number one. You got four guys on number two, four guys on number three. Everybody tees off at the same time, 10 a.m. Why is that appealing to these golfers? You ever had a 7:04 tee time? Nobody wants to get up that early. I mean, right. I guess somebody does. Most people don't. So instead of playing 20 events, the maximum you can play is eight. You're playing them from three to four times as much money. You're playing less, three rounds instead of four. No ridiculously early or ridiculously late tee times. Get to the course at 8, warm up, tee off at 10, out of there by 1:45. Go have a lunch, get a nice meal. Travel's paid for, expenses covered, and you're competing against lesser competition for a lot more money. If you can get past the moral hangup of it. Oh, and you also get to play in all the majors still. That seems to be on the table. U.S. Open announced today. Phil Mickelson, you're welcome to come play. Dustin Johnson, you're welcome to come play. So you don't lose the majors. You get to play less golf for more money. Expenses covered. Unless you have a moral hangup, and this is the point Hank Haney was making, why would you not do this? Unless you have a real moral hangup, why would you not do this? It's a interesting question, and it's something the tour is going to have to navigate through. These players are scheduled to tee off Thursday in London, and it'll be fascinating to see how the PGA Tour responds. Do they discipline in minor ways, or do they really try to drop the hammer? If they drop the hammer, what does it mean for these players and others who are contemplating going? And if they don't, what does it mean for these players and others who are contemplating going? Because I think the consensus seems to be if you don't severely punish these players who are joining the Saudi Golf League in defiance of the PGA Tour, some of the guys who weren't comfortable going in week one, they're going to be real comfortable going in week two. Why? Not everybody's Dustin Johnson, but understand what Dustin Johnson just did. He'd been playing 15 years on the PGA Tour, won 28 times, was ranked number one in the country, and made a total of $74 million. He just signed a contract guaranteed $125 million for just the next 3 years. All he has to do is show up. He didn't have to birdie a single hole, and he will make more there in the next 3 years, way more, roughly $50 million more over the next 3 years than he's made in the previous 15. For a lot of people, that kind of stuff is super hard to turn down. I'll talk with Rick Gaiman about it next. You listen to the Gary Parrish Show.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios. We don't pray for disaster. We just pray we get called when there is one. At Service Master by Cornerstone. Now back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Here come the menaces to sobriety, like what?
Super New York Times with an explosive story about Deshaun Watson, Cleveland quarterback, earlier today. I'll give you the details in the next segment. Jeff Calkins is going to join me a little after 5 o'clock, but right now, he is the host of the First Cut Pod. That's part of the CBS Sports family of podcasts. It's Rick Game and Make Him the Big Interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview, presented by The Wing Guru, online at thewingguru.com.
So, Rick, I think you and I can agree the most fascinating thing happening in sports right now is happening in the sport of golf. LIV Golf, we now know, is a real thing after months and months and months of speculation. They've got Dustin Johnson. They've got Phil Mickelson. There's some thought they could get Ricky Fowler, and who knows who goes next. How concerned should the PGA Tour be right now?
Yeah, we usually don't get this drama in the world of golf. This is very new for us, but they should be very concerned. Listen, the PGA Tour does not have much leverage and much defense that they can put up. They do not control the major championships. They cannot outspend the Saudis over at the LIV Golf organization. So the really only thing that they can offer is kind of stability and that's it, which is a very tough card to play. So I think they should be worried. A lot of this is likely to come down to what the major championships decide. The USGA has already made a statement today where they're going to allow anybody who plays in London for the LIV Golf event, they're going to allow them to play next week. That is kind of what we were expecting. But, yeah, the PGA Tour, I think they should be quite worried about this and retaining their stars.
I saw Hank Haney make some points earlier today, specifically about Dustin Johnson, pointing out that, you know, he's been on the PGA Tour for 15 years. He's won 28 times. He's been ranked number one in the world. He has won majors. This is, you know, among the most successful golfers of all time. And yet he's only, and I put quotes around the word only, but only made $74 million in 15 years. Aaron Donald just signed a 3-year, $95 million contract with the Rams yesterday. His point was, unless you have a moral hang-up about taking money from the Saudis, and Dustin Johnson clearly doesn't seem like the type of person who would, it's actually a no-brainer to do something like this for $125 million guaranteed. How would you respond to that?
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. Now, remember that golfers make, especially the top-end guys, make a lot more money off the course Sure. than they do on the course. So 15 years worth of endorsements for Dustin Johnson, quite likely more lucrative than everything he has made on the golf course. But you're right. There's just one hurdle in doing this. It's the moral side of it. It is, do you want to take money from the financial arm of the Saudi government in an attempt to sportswash? That is what the plan is. That is what the goal is. If you can get over the big hurdle, amount of money, respective to our world of golf, I mean, Dustin Johnson getting a one-time payout, money wired to his bank account, more than the entire career earnings of Tiger Woods, it's unfathomable. I mean, the money is just insane. So, yes, it's the one hurdle. If you're past that, obviously it's a no-brainer because the financial stuff cannot be matched by anybody else in the world.
I was talking to a buddy earlier today, and, you know, Phil Mickelson's reportedly getting $200 million, and Dustin Johnson's reportedly getting $125 million, and these purses are $25 million. And, And, you know, my buddy said, you know, how are they ever going to turn a profit or even break even? And I think this is because that's a totally reasonable question. I think it's important to point out what you just said. They're not trying to turn a profit or break even. This is sports washing by definition. And the definition, by the way, of that is, quote, the practice of an individual, group, corporation, or government using sports to improve their tarnished reputation through hosting a sporting event, the purchase or sponsorship of sporting teams, or by participation in the sport itself. I read a report from, I believe, the Guardian that was published last year that detailed how Saudi Arabia had spent, and this is before LIV Golf, had spent at least $1.5 billion on sports washing in recent years. So this isn't about making money. This is about simply sports washing, and Phil Mickelson and Dustin Johnson are helping them do that. That's a fair assessment, isn't it?
It's a 100% fair assessment. There is no goal to turn a profit on this. I mean, they are committed to investing $2 billion into this golf league. They will never turn a profit. They're basically giving away tickets for free. They do not have a partner that will air this. It will be on YouTube, at least for the first event, but try to find a network that's going to pay money to do this. I find that quite hard to believe. So they're never going to turn a profit on this, and they don't have to, because that's not the goal. So we've seen them do this with F1. We've seen them do this with the WWE. They spend hundreds of millions of dollars to get the WWE superstars over there just to say, hey, we're a normal country. You know, look past our human rights atrocities. We have entertainment and movies and television and sports. We're normal. That's the entire goal. They will never turn a profit, and they will never even try to, because that is so far down the list of things that they're trying to accomplish with this.
Talking to Rick Gaiman from the First Cut Pod. You can subscribe anywhere you subscribe to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts. He's on Twitter at RickRunGood. There are some reports that the PGA Tour could announce punishments for these players who are going to play just outside of London in the LIV Golf event on Thursday in defiance of the tour, that the punishments could be announced as soon as, I think the way it was phrased, they put a tee in the ground. Do you think punishment comes that quickly? And B, what do you think punishment's going to look like?
Yeah, so I think it's kind of a couple parts here. So this is why you're seeing a lot of golfers, Dustin Johnson, Kevin Na, Louis Oosthuizen, resigning, using that word, resigning from the PGA Tour. They are giving away their PGA Tour card because the idea is you can't fire me if I already quit, right? You can't punish me if I'm not a member of your organization. So they're actually proactively turning in their tour card. Now, to go back to what we were talking about earlier, the PGA Tour's really only leverage is to act swiftly and aggressively when those guys hit that first tee shot in London. They need to come out and say, you're banned for life, you're banned for multiple years, they need to unleash the wrath of God, because that's all they have. They don't have anything else. So, I do expect we are going to get, and the PGA Tour always does keep this stuff very close to the vest, but I imagine they are going to announce punishments. They are going to be harsh. They're going to be quick. And, you know, realistically, say this Saudi Golf League falls apart in a couple of years and they want to bring those guys back. Well, you can always reverse it, but you have to be aggressive, because you cannot let any of your other stars or middle, you know, the middle tier of golfers continue to go over and play in this league.
If you are, Dustin Johnson or any of the lesser golfers who have already done this, which suggests you don't have a moral problem with it, or at least that can be purchased away, do you even care what the punishment is? Because this, take the Saudi money and set it aside, and I know that's difficult to do, but just from a lifestyle perspective, it seems great. Only 8 tournaments, 3 rounds instead of 4, only 48 players, you know, purses that are, you know, 3 to 4 times bigger than your average PGA purse, and you still can play in the majors. Like, if you don't have a moral problem with it, the rest of it looks pretty good.
It certainly does, and that is why, it's structured that way, right? You know, this is being created as a very pro-player friendly organization league. You mentioned only 3 rounds. Everybody makes the cut. Guaranteed payouts. They're paying for your travel to and from these events, plus all the outrageous amounts of money. You know, it's not going to be a surprise when these punishments come out. These players who have already defected, they understand and have understood for months that the punishments were coming and they were going to probably be aggressive. There was a full kind of hands-on, you know, staff meeting, for lack of a better term, for tour members a couple of months ago. And Jay Monahan, you know, had reportedly said, if you go play in that league, and he pointed to the door, which was taken by a lot of players to mean, if you go play, you'll never play on the PGA Tour again. So they have already decided that the threat of that is not worth everything else that is coming with this organization.
Talking to Rick Gaiman, he is the host of the First Cut Pod. You can find it anywhere you subscribe to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts. He's on Twitter, at Rick Run Good. Last thing on this subject. The alternative to swift and aggressive punishment is something less than that. And if it's something less than that, like I've heard some people suggest, maybe it's just suspended through the end of the year. If it's something that minor, could you envision other golfers who were maybe hesitant to go for the first LIV event, they'll show up for the second one?
So if it's just till the end of the year, that will be a vacation. That will not be a punishment.
Right.
There are a lot of guys who do not want to play a lot of the events, but they do to hit their minimums and their tour obligations. Now, I do think so that is why I think it has to be aggressive, just because the nature of the PGA Tour. If it is not aggressive and it is not penal, the PGA Tour will cease to exist, because they're just going to be outspent there over the next couple of years. Now, I do want to point out, because I think you nailed it here, the field that we have for London is almost certainly going to be completely different in a couple of weeks when they go to Portland. That is not the set league. It is just the field for the first event. And I do think that after we get past the U.S. Open, and as we see how the first event goes, and as the players start talking to each other about the experience, you are absolutely going to see more guys go for event number two and probably event number three, and it'll kind of eventually settle in into the guys that are planning on being there full-time.
Wrapping up here with Rick Gaiman from the First Cut Pod, part of the CBS Sports podcast family. Last thing before I let you go, the other big headline today, Tiger Woods did announce he is not going to play at the U.S. Open, but he does plan to play in the Open Championship later this year. I listened to your podcast earlier today. You guys didn't seem too surprised by this, that it's actually smart for him to continue to recuperate, because he obviously wasn't healthy at the PGA Championship, and prepare to go play at the Open Championship, which is a lot flatter in terms of surface than where the U.S. Open's being played.
Yes. So I believe that what we saw at the PGA Championship was that Tiger actually looked worse than he did at the Masters physically. And I think that is a reminder that he is still very much in active rehabilitation. It is a reminder that he wakes up every morning not knowing how his body is going to feel. And the other thing is, a typical USGA, US Open setup, one that is penal out of the rough, it's grueling, it's going to be very, very difficult, it's going to be taxing on the body. And when you contrast that to the Open Championship venue for this year, the 150th edition at St. Andrews, there is literally not a golf course on planet Earth that is better for Tiger Woods, with how flat it is, how creative he gets to be, his history around there. So if he truly feels like he needs to give St. Andrews everything he has to skip the U.S. Open and get right. So I actually think this is quite strategic, and I believe it is indicative of how he thinks his chances are at St. Andrews, because he's willing to actually skip a major championship to prepare for it.
That is Rick Gaiman from the First Cut Pod. Make sure you're subscribed over at Apple Podcasts or anywhere you listen to podcasts. You can follow him on Twitter, at Rick Run Good. Buddy, I appreciate your time. You were terrific. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. That's Rick Gaiman from CBS Sports First Cut Pod. You know, he mentioned, and I thought this was interesting, because Hank Haney in his podcast had mentioned the exact same thing. These players are going to start talking to each other, and you're going to have guys who were offered significant amount of money, who were hesitant to make this jump, but they're friends with somebody who did make the jump. And they're going to say, like, okay, so how was it? And when you ask that question to some of these guys, here's the answer. Well, first off, they flew us there. You know, they got it. They covered those expenses. You know how you have to pay for your private plane? Well, we don't have to do that. They cover our travel expenses and our housing while we're there. So that's really nice. And then, you know, the galleries weren't too big. And so there didn't feel like a lot of pressure. I'm only competing against 47 other guys. And half of them couldn't beat me if we played every weekend for the next 10 years. So how many guys am I actually competing with to really win this tournament? And, oh, I made three times as much money as I would have won if I won a PGA Tour event the exact same week. And I only played three rounds instead of four. And we teed it off at 10 a.m. every day, shotgun start. Oh, wow, that sounds...
Sounds great.
So you're telling me I can make three times as much money competing against smaller fields and lesser competition, and I don't have to play as much. That's exactly what I'm telling you. Billy Horschel just won the Memorial. He had to beat the best golfers in the world to win that. Will Zalatoris, Daniel Berger, John Rahm, Cameron Smith, Xander Schauffele, Jordan Spieth, Roy McIlroy, Jason Day. The best golfers in the world were in that event. More than 100 started. 70 made the cut. And he had to beat all these people to win that event. And win what? $2.1 million. You can compete against 47 other people in these LIV golf events, make three times as much money, and the competition ain't even close to comparable. Again, the moral hang-up is a real thing. But once these players start talking and they say, yeah, I got dragged by USA Today the other day, and a columnist from CBS ripped me pretty good. And that wasn't fun. But, dude, I got $30 million guaranteed. And I'm working way less and making way more against weaker competition. Unless you are really, really firm in your beliefs about where you will take money from and where you won't. It's a better lifestyle. And you had some golfers this morning at the press conference basically say that. Hey, listen, I know this is controversial, but I'm a father. And I've missed a lot. You know, being out on the road 23 weeks a year. Now I'm going to be on the road 8. And I'm going to make more money. And wherever we're playing. And oh, by the way, this is a Saudi-backed league. I think that maybe some people might interpret that as like, well, do you really want to spend all this time in Saudi Arabia? Five of the 8 tournaments are in the United States. They're in Portland. They're down in Florida. More than half of the events are in the United States. So you don't have to go all the way across the world to do this. You got to get on a plane on Tuesday. Practice round or pro-am something on a Wednesday. Play on Thursday, play on Friday, play on Saturday. You can be out back home Saturday night. You know, that's the other thing. Like, final round, it's still a shotgun start. You tee off at 10 a.m., you're out of there by 1:30. You're back home having dinner on Sunday night. You win a tournament on the PGA Tour, you just see what times these things wrap up, right before 60 minutes. You're probably not out of there until 7:30, 8 o'clock. You can get home at night, but it's late at night. It's just a way better lifestyle if you can take a big gulp and get over the source of the money. And I think we're starting to reach the point where that tone is shifting a little bit. For months now, it's been, how could these guys do this? And now you're hearing a lot of, the Saudis aren't, it is what it is. It is sports washing. But our government is in bed with the Saudis. WWE is in bed with the Saudis. All sorts of American entities are in bed with the Saudis. So why am I a guy who puts a little white ball on a tee and smacks it down the course, why am I holding myself to some different standard? Am I really changing the world? Maybe I should just focus on changing my family's circumstances. If nobody else is worried about changing the world or changing Saudi Arabia, why do I need to be? You're starting to hear a little bit of that. And I think that'll make it easier for the next batch of guys to go if they do indeed decide to go. It's a fascinating topic. I'm sure we'll be talking about it a lot in the coming days, weeks, and months. When we come back, New York Times, explosive investigative piece into the Deshaun Watson situation. Cleveland Browns had earlier this year said they did all their research on Deshaun Watson and they were comfortable. They should have hired this New York Times writer to work for them because I don't see how you could be comfortable with this stuff. Get into it next.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios. We don't pray for disaster. We just pray we get called when there is one. At Service Master by Cornerstone. Now back to the Gary Parrott Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
You stab me in my back again. You the type to play the joke and try to hide your hand. Not the type to come around and try to play your friend. You the type to cut the grass and snake your bestest man. I'm the type to close the deal and cut my... See me in person, I look like a ghost. See me in person, I look like a ghost. Boom. You wanna come in and play with the goat? Boom. You wanna come in and play with the goat? Goat body. All you rap sound like me. Can't tell who is who. You got no real identity. Can't tell you from you.
Jeff Calkins, award-winning columnist, Daily Memphian. Gonna join me in the next segment like he always does, but right now I got four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's four notable stories at 4:44. Story number one.
The New York Times published an explosive story about Cleveland Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson earlier today that details how there are, 24 women who have filed civil suits against the former Texans quarterback, but their investigation shows that that's not even half of the women they found that he hired to give him massages in a 17-month span while quarterback of the Houston Texans. They were able to identify 66 different women he hired, mostly through Instagram, over a 17-month span. And basically every one of them that they talk to have similar stories about Deshaun Watson. It's wild because the Cleveland Browns, when they traded for him and then signed him to a guaranteed contract worth $230 million, they said, we have investigated this fully and we are comfortable that we know the facts of the case. Turns out they maybe should have hired Jenny Vrentis from the New York Times to do some investigating for them, because there is no way they could know this stuff and these stories and still be comfortable. I don't care how blinded you are by somebody's talent. You cannot be comfortable if you read this story with Deshaun Watson as the face of your franchise guaranteed to make $230 million. 66 women.
I mean, in fairness, the Browns have gone like decades without a real quarterback, so maybe they are blinded by the talent.
I won't get into all of the details of the very specific allegations because we're a family show, at least most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But just trust, it is as inappropriate as you can imagine. And yes, by the letter of the law, sexual assault. not just inappropriate behavior, but in some cases, sexual assault. And I think this is an important point that was made in the story, because the people who want to rationalize Cleveland trading for Deshaun Watson and then giving him a raise, or the people who are skeptical or simply unwilling to believe that these 24 women who have filed these civil suits are telling the truth. According to Jenny Ventus's reporting, there are women who have the same stories these other women have, and they have not filed civil lawsuits. Mm-hmm. They just don't want to be in this. They don't want their families tied up in it.
Sure.
They don't want the negative attention. They don't want their businesses tied up in it. But the idea is, the only reason these women are saying this is because they're trying to get money. There are literally women saying these things about him who aren't trying to get any money at all. They're not going to police. They're not filing civil lawsuits. They just had this terrible experience with Deshaun Watson, and they just want it to go away. So if you are Deshaun Watson's attorney, or any of the people who have said, I know what this is, just women out there trying to get money from Deshaun Watson, well, then explain why women who aren't trying to get money from Deshaun Watson are telling the exact same stories. And we've been over this several times before, but 66 different massage therapists in 17 months is wild behavior.
Yeah.
There is only one reason you're doing that, and that's because, for lack of a better phrase, you get off on that interaction, on the inappropriateness of it, of the power dynamic of it. Like, that is something that you need. And that appears to be who Deshaun Watson is. New York Times got a hold of some text messages, because at some point, oh, this is also interesting. There's this luxury hotel that the Texans set Deshaun Watson up with a room there. Like, he had a suite at this place 7 days a week. It's just his. And exactly why they set this up for him is unclear. But there's like a club in there and a bar in there and a restaurant in there. And it's a really nice hotel. But he was using it for this. You want to know why? He had a girlfriend. So he couldn't invite these women to his home. So most of the appointments, hey, meet me at this hotel in a suite. He would do them there. But he did meet at some point a woman who owns a massage salon who had, you know, 7 employees as massage therapist. I'm making that number up, but I'm just trying to paint an accurate picture. So she's got these women who work under her, and Deshaun Watson created a relationship with her, and then he'd make an appointment and she would set him up with someone she thought would be agreeable to what she knew he was after. He ends up getting massages at this place from 5 different women who work there. And a couple of them complained to the owner and said, you need to let him know he cannot treat us black women like that. And she would text back, I'll talk to him again. I apologize. I'm gonna chew his ass out, and he'll know he can't do that stuff again. But there's these texts between these people way before any of this became public, way before there were any civil suits. There are employees complaining to their boss, hey, I appreciate you getting me an appointment with Deshaun Watson, but he got way out of hand. Asked me to do this, asked me to do that. When I said no, just did this. Next thing I know, erect this in my face. Like, these text messages exist between these women. Also in the story, one of the women who worked at that place, there was evidence that, well before any of this was public, she posted Cash App receipts from Deshaun Watson on Instagram and said, I could expose you. This is when he's still the face of the franchise of the Houston Texans. So the idea, because this is the defense, that some lawyer round up all these women and got them to make up stories and coordinate stories about Deshaun Watson, that is completely undone by the New York Times reporting. And it'll be really interesting to see how the NFL handles this now. Because if you haven't read the story yet, you should at nytimes.com. And there's just no way you can get to the end of it without thinking, my God, Deshaun Watson really did do all these things that these women are saying. And he did them a lot more often than we previously knew. I'm at the point now, I'll be shocked if he quarterbacks a single snap for the Cleveland Browns this season. And they have guaranteed him $230 million.
Oof.
You thought signing Chandler Parsons with a bad knee was a bad deal? That ain't got nothing on this one.
Story number two.
Poor David Fizdale.
What happened?
My guy can't keep a job. Darvin Ham, new Lakers coach, informed him today that he will not be retained. Fizz has been popping around a little bit. I mean,
he has, I know. He's had to move a lot.
It's got him, you know, it's a good life. You know, he's made a lot of money. But boy, the shine is off him completely. He was the hotshot Heat assistant who got the Grizzlies head coaching job in 2016, got fired, got the Knicks head coaching, somehow got fired and got a better job, got fired from that one. And then he was a Lakers assistant, and now today he got fired from that one. Darvin Ham is keeping a couple of assistants, but he's firing at least three, including David Fizdale. So I'm sure he'll, you know, find himself on a staff somewhere. But to go from Eric Spoelstra's right-hand man to head coach of the Memphis Grizzlies to now you've been twice fired as a head coach and Darvin Ham didn't want to keep you on his new staff, it's been a rough little go.
Story number three.
Super regionals. They're all set, Big Ben Bennett.
Yep.
I go from not even knowing what's happened with college baseball to now, like, can't wait for Friday's games.
It has been kind of fun, hasn't it?
Like, last night, you know, after the Mets were done beating up on the Padres, or even while the Mets were beating up on the Padres, I had college baseball, Arkansas game, and various other games streaming on different screens. It's fun. College baseball is fun.
Arkansas won, right? They were up 5-0 when
Arkansas won.
So. Okay.
You know what? And they
I said call the Hogs.
Very early on, Oklahoma State like had bases loaded. I think it might have been no outs, and it was, and they got out of it. And that was like a huge turning point in the game. So Arkansas wins, and now you've got 8 super regionals set to get underway on either Friday or Saturday. Tennessee is hosting one in Knoxville against Notre Dame. And then Arkansas is at North Carolina, and Ole Miss is at Southern Miss. I guess those are the 3 schools with local ties. But 7 of the 16 schools still alive are either SEC members or future SEC members. And, you know, these best of 3 series will decide, you know, who goes to the College World Series. So, I haven't seen any odds on this, but it looks likely, at least, that your College World Series champion is eventually going to be either an SEC school or a future SEC school. And I wish I had the bandwidth to follow that sport, you know, from start to finish. Like, there's only so much thing I can get involved in, you know? Like, I don't have enough time. Like, I follow the NBA, obviously follow Major League Baseball, college basketball, college football. I just don't have much time. Golf. You don't have much time for anything else. But college baseball, when I do take the time, a little bit like tennis, when I do take the time to watch it, I enjoy it. And college baseball is similar. Like with tennis, I don't really know what's going on ever, but when I watch it, I enjoy it. And college baseball, same thing. I couldn't name you 5 college baseball players right now, but when I watch it, like I have the past few days over the past week,
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
For a
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.